hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Ghana, where group action wraps up Tuesday evening at the West African Football Union Cup of Nations Tournament. As the name indicates, this competition is for teams in West Africa. Niger is playing Benin this evening in Elmina, Ghana, while Senegal is going against Ivory Coast in Cape Coast, Ghana. Heading into the matches, Niger topped the Group B table with 4 points from 2 games, followed by Senegal and Benin with 3 points each, and Ivory Coast with 1 point. In Group A action Monday, Nigeria defeated host Ghana 2-0 in Cape Coast to advance to Thursday's semifinals. Ghana had already booked its place in the Final Four. Anthony Okpotu and Peter Moses scored second-half goals for the Super Eagles, who finished group play with 5 points, 1 point behind Ghana. Now, Okpotu and Moses are part of a Nigerian team made up of locally based players. Okpotu plays for Lobi Stars and Moses for Plateau United. In Monday's other result, Guinea and Mali drew 1-1 in Elmina, Ghana. Both teams finished with 2 points in Group A and were eliminated. The Black Stars of Ghana and the Super Eagles of Nigeria now await the results of Tuesday's matches to find out their opponents on Thursday. The final is scheduled for Sunday, September 24th, at the Cape Coast Sports Stadium. The winner will receive $100,000, the runner-up $50,000, and the third-place team $25,000. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Gabon's 2015 African Footballer of the Year, led the Bundesliga in scoring last season with 31 goals, and he's off to a hot start this season. Aubameyang bagged 2 second-half goals Sunday for Borussia Dortmund in their 5-0 thrashing of Cologne. Aubameyang now has 4 goals for top-of-the-table Dortmund, which has won its first 4 matches. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Ghanaian player Christian Atsu, who scored his first English Premier League goal over the weekend for Newcastle United in their 2-1 victory over Stoke City. And if you check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page at facebook.com/VOASunny, once again, that address, facebook.com/VOASunny, you'll see a nice photo of 25-year-old Christian Atsu celebrating his goal. Reuters photographer Scott Heppel shows Atsu jumping for joy after putting the ball in the net for Newcastle. Ernest Izugwu, writing from Asaba, Nigeria, saw the celebratory photo of Christian Atsu, and he writes, "It's a great delight, an unforgettable moment for Atsu, and his team Newcastle is rising up to make a statement of intent this EPL season." Well, Ernest, it's early in the EPL season, but Newcastle is off to a pretty good and earnest start with 9 points from 5 matches. That puts the Magpies of Newcastle United 4 points behind top-of-the-table Manchester City and Manchester United, which each have 13 points. Josiah Ifeanyi, writing from Abuja, Nigeria, says good luck to Christian Atsu. and the goal will boost his morale. For sure, Josiah and Abraham Mensah, writing from Takoradi, Ghana, says simply, more goals from Christian Atsu's boots. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Hi, I'm Kofi Apari, defender for DC United. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, Bamboozit, D.C.
Voice of America.
Now let's go to Johannesburg, where newly appointed South African cricket coach Otis Gibson spoke to reporters for the first time on Tuesday.
For me, it's an honor to be here this morning, but especially when I think about it, to sit here and refer to myself as the head coach of the Proteas is an amazing thing. You know, and I'm really looking forward to working with a group of players and how working with South Africa.
Cricket South Africa hired the 48-year-old Gibson, a former West Indies player from Barbados, to replace Russell Domingo when his contract ended. Gibson was previously the head coach of the West Indies between 2010 and 2014, before returning for a second stint as bowling coach for England. Now, England and Wales will host the 2019 Cricket World Cup, and Gibson says that's a big target.
On 2019, and obviously we'll talk a lot about 2019 because that is a pie in the sky, that is a goal. But where do we want to go right now? And I'm lucky in a sense because the Proteas have been to number one in the world on a few occasions. And not very long ago, they were number one in the world. So we've got people within the team that know what it takes to get to number one. And what we need to do now is then make sure that those people, like I said before, they love the game and that sort of stuff, and the passion for the game, have they still got that passion? Can they get it back? That is the key. Can they get that passion back? It's some of the older guys that drive any environment, the senior players in any environment drive the environment. And if you have quality senior players, they help you to drive things forward. We've got a great platform to build from because they know what it takes to get it. They've done it before. That is my philosophy, certainly, for over the next 2 years, taking the Proteas back to the top of the pile, first of all, and then hopefully winning the World Cup.
That's Otis Gibson, South Africa's new cricket coach, and he was speaking Tuesday at a news conference in Johannesburg. Turning to women's football, the world number one United States will host New Zealand later Tuesday evening in an international friendly match in Cincinnati, Ohio. The game will be played at Nippert Stadium, located on the campus of the University of Cincinnati. U.S. Soccer says the crowd for tonight's friendly might approach 30,000 at Nippert Stadium, which is proving to be a popular soccer venue. Just recently, a crowd of 30,417 at the same venue attended one of FC Cincinnati's matches, a record for the second division United Soccer League. With the city showing its support for the sport, Major League Soccer is now evaluating Cincinnati's bid to get an expansion franchise. As for the USA and New Zealand, well, the teams also played a friendly match last month near Denver, Colorado, where the American women came away with a 3-1 victory. More football news. Former England captain Wayne Rooney has been banned from driving for 2 years after pleading guilty in Stockport, England, to drunken driving. The 31-year-old Rooney plays for Everton. He was stopped by police while driving near his home outside Manchester earlier this month. Wayne Rooney is the all-time leading scorer for England's national team and for Manchester United. He retired from the national team last month. Rooney issued a public apology, saying he accepts the sentence of the court after his unforgivable lack of judgment in driving. And Rooney says he hopes he can make some amends through community service.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the 72nd United Nations General Assembly opens with a theme focusing on people, striving for peace and a decent life for all on a sustainable planet. Host Shaka Sali and his guest will discuss the UNGA's theme and its importance for the people of Africa. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
The Voice of America. VOA.
Athletic news now on the VOA. The energetic Andy Edwards is packing his bags for Germany and coverage of Sunday's Berlin Marathon. Before leaving, though, Andy has this preview for us.
Berlin Marathon has a special place in my heart. You know, Sonny, that I go around the globe from time to time and reporting on marathons for the Sunny Side of Sports. Berlin has a great tradition, super fast course. And this year, we've got the Olympic champion, Eliud Kipchoge, against his fellow Kenyan Wilson Kipsang. I mean, that's not the only names in the lineup, but they are the two of really big headliners. Kipsang, Olympic bronze medalist in London 2012, former world record holder. And Kipsang, I thought he might be slightly past his peak, but the way he duelled with Kenenisa Bekele last year in Berlin ran him so close before Bekele broke away and ran himself close to the world record. Shows Kipsang is still very much a force. So Eliud Kipchoge against Wilson Kipsang, it should be tremendous. I've been so impressed with both of them over the years. I remember a couple of years ago in Berlin, after he'd won, and this was before he became Olympic champion, Eliud Kipchoge said in an interview that you put out that mental freshness was the key. He said, I'm going to run spring race in Olympic year because if I just train and train, I'll get mentally jaded. I'll recover physically well in time to be in top shape for the Olympics in Rio, and that's exactly what he did. So they're both articulate, fascinating people to interview. And also for me, Berlin, you know, I first went to Berlin, well, as a schoolboy, as a German student in 1974. But in terms of sport and the marathon, I went there in 1988 after the Seoul Olympics and reported on the Berlin Marathon, which at that time, because the Berlin Wall was still up, we were, you know, about a year or so away from the fall of the wall. And so it really was the West Berlin Marathon. And it was a rising race, well organized, good spirit involved, but it wasn't one of the leading world races. Now, of course, the wall coming down, Berlin, one big city, that first ever United Berlin race in 1990, that was fantastic. And since then, because Berlin is flat, it's ideal for fast running. We've had world records. We've had the first woman under 220, Japan's Naoko Takahashi, Tekla Larupe of Kenya also running world records. And then, of course, we come to the era of Haile Gebrselassie, world records, 2003.
Hello, this is Haile Gebrselassie. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
America.
Well, who knows? We might see something akin to a world record or even breaking it from Eliud Kipchoge and Kenenisa Bekele in Berlin 2017. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm really looking forward to it too, Andy. That's the energetic Andy Edwards, who's packing his bags for Germany and coverage of Sunday's Berlin Marathon.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000 and 2100 UTC.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Tuesday?
Well, I know you love a theme, Sonny, and yesterday was Money Monday. We talked about money in sports, but today we have another theme, another big element of sports, and that's the media.
The media, okay.
We have a case of three athletes who are in the media, contributing to the media, making news in the media. And we start with Andy Murray, of course. Andy Murray, great tennis player, multiple Grand Slam winner, and a vocal supporter of female tennis players and female athletes. His mother, Judy, was his coach for many years. He hired former world number one Amalie Mauresmo as his coach. And he actually had that viral moment during Wimbledon when he corrected a reporter who said that Sam Querrey was the first American into the semifinals since 2009. Murray responded very quickly and said, "American male. Don't discount the females."
Okay.
So Murray is speaking out again. He's written about equality in tennis and sports in an article for the BBC titled, "Tennis Women Make the Same Sacrifices as Men." He says in this article that he never set out to be a spokesperson for women's equality, but after working with women and seeing the inequality in sports, he wanted to speak out. He says women train just as hard as the men, deserve just as much pay and just as much airtime as the men get. And not just in tennis. He said more women's football on TV, more women's cricket. He's seeing positive signs that women are getting more attention, but there needs to be more equality on the playing field. And this is how he closes that article. He says, "In general, I think the future is positive. We've got more female role models than ever before, more female commentators. Things are moving in a positive direction, and I'm excited about a future in which the playing field might be level for all." So fans praising Andy Murray for speaking out, using his platform as a sports star to help others, some even calling him a feminist hero. Andy Murray in the past has said that he is a feminist because he believes that men and women should have equality in the sports world, and so he's getting a lot of praise for that in those comments in that article in the BBC.
Andrew, in terms of pay, at least at the recent U.S. Open, the organizers there in New York. I believe they pay the men's and women's champions the same amount.
They do indeed. All four of the Grand Slam tournaments now pay equal prize money. Actually, Wimbledon was the last holdout. I don't think it was until about the mid-2000s that they started to pay equal prize money after a campaign by Venus Williams. And she went on to win that year, the first year of equal prize money at Wimbledon, and Venus wins it. So that was a nice story. But Andy Murray also fighting for equal rights in sport.
And earlier in the show, I mentioned the U.S. women's national soccer team, and they've made headlines saying that they do not receive the same treatment as the U.S. men's national soccer team. So it's an issue that, you know, it's still out there. It's not going away.
It is, but athletes are speaking out about it, they're recognizing it, and hopefully it's going to do something about it.
What else is trending in terms of athletes and the media, Andrew?
Well, one athlete who has been in the media quite a lot is Colin Kaepernick. We've talked about him on the show. He's the former National Football League quarterback who's been without a job since being let go by the San Francisco 49ers. Some alleging that's because he's been outspoken on race issues, kneeling during the national anthem when he was a player, speaking out against the treatment of African Americans in the United States. Well, Colin Kaepernick is getting big support from a big name in football, none other than Tom Brady, the five-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots. He was interviewed in the CBS network here in the U.S., and this is what Brady had to say about Kaepernick. He said, "I've always watched him and admired him, the way that he's played with great young quarterback. He was a great young quarterback. He came to our stadium and beat us and took his team to the Super Bowl. He's accomplished a lot in the pros as a player, and he's certainly qualified, and I hope he gets a shot." So lots of attention on those comments. Tom Brady is a great endorsement to have, certainly one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback in National Football League history. So fans wondering, will this help Kaepernick get a job, Brady's endorsement? They're hoping it does after he's languished on the sidelines. They're hoping that this is another step forward for Kaepernick and he can get back into the NFL.
We will wait and see, Andrew. What other athlete is out there trending in the media?
Well, it's not just media in terms of TV and newspapers and websites and radio. It's also media in terms of social media. That's the way that athletes are connecting with fans. Fans are able to talk with athletes. And one of the biggest stars of the National Basketball Association has gotten some backlash because of his activity on social media. None other than Kevin Durant, of course, NBA champion with the Golden State Warriors. He was responding, or a fan, I guess, went on social media and criticized Durant for leaving the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Durant responded via his official Twitter account. But he refers to himself in the third person. He wrote, "He didn't like the organization or playing for Billy Donovan. His roster wasn't that good. It was just him and Russ," referring to Russell Westbrook, and talking about why he left the Oklahoma City Thunder. And said, "Imagine taking Russ off the team. See how bad they were. KD can't win a championship with those cats." Very odd that Kevin Durant would respond like this, refer to himself in the third person. The theory among fans is that Kevin Durant has a secret Twitter account that he uses to defend himself online, and he forgot to switch over to that one from his official account before he posted. Adding to the intrigue, the tweets from Durant's account were deleted shortly after they were posted, and there's been evidence that he's done this as well on Instagram. There's an account that fans have found that is followed by a number of basketball players. It references the Golden State Warriors in the profile, and the owner of that account on Instagram has been defending Durant against haters there. So a lot of fans saying Kevin Durant is kind of had these secret accounts that he's using to try to defend himself in social media. It's getting some backlash from fans. They're making some jokes about it, saying that he's doesn't feel confident enough in himself. He's got to go undercover to defend himself. And even getting roasted from some players in the NBA, Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers wrote, "Joel Embiid is better than MJ ever was," referring to Michael Jordan, of course. And then he puts hashtag facts, hashtag burner Twitter. Kevin Durant getting roasted about this. No response from him yet, but we'll have to check social media to see if he responds there.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the September 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Ethiopia's eastern lowlands bordering Somalia are suffering through a severe drought. The rainy season was late and not enough, causing devastating losses among local livestock herds. Coming on the heels of two previous dry years in Ethiopia, the drought of 2017 compounded an already serious humanitarian situation in the country. As a result, numerous households in the country's Somali region are experiencing chronic food insecurity and concerning rates of malnutrition. The United States, Ethiopia's largest donor of emergency and development aid, continues to deliver a large-scale humanitarian response. In late August, USAID Administrator Mark Green announced that in order to help alleviate the dire humanitarian situation, the United States will deliver $91 million in additional humanitarian assistance for those Ethiopians who are even now struggling with severe food insecurity and malnutrition. This funding will provide additional emergency food assistance and vital medical care, he said. A day earlier, Mr. Green announced that Ethiopia had been chosen as one of a dozen countries that will participate in the second phase of the Feed the Future initiative. This seven-year-old program aims to reduce global hunger, poverty, and undernutrition by focusing on smallholder farmers, increasing investments in agriculture, and supporting country-owned plans for improving food security and nutrition while generating opportunities for economic growth and trade. In this way, the United States hopes to help strengthen Ethiopia's resilience to climactic shocks. I don't view development in humanitarian assistance as a gift or a handout. I view it as a hand up, said USAID Administrator Green. I believe passionately in the dignity of each and every human being. I believe that every human being wants to build a brighter future for him or herself and children, and that every country wants to lead itself into a brighter future. We want to help people stand on their own two feet and build their own futures, and that's what I hope our assistance can play a useful role in, he said. USAID is committed to helping Ethiopia leverage its human and economic capital and to harness the power of Ethiopian farms and entrepreneurs to create a more economically prosperous and food-secure Ethiopia.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the 72nd United Nations General Assembly opens with a theme focusing on people, striving for peace and a decent life for all on a sustainable planet. Host Shaka Sali and his guest will discuss the UNGA's theme and its importance for the people of Africa. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this
nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever.
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.